This episode of Gunblog Varietycast brought to you by LawOfSelfDefense.com. Go to LawOfSelfDefense.com/variety to learn about your state's self-defense laws. Sign up for one of their online or in-person seminars or buy the book Law of Self-Defense and get 10% off when you use the discount code VARIETY at checkout. That's LawOfSelfDefense.com/variety.
Sit back, relax, and take a ride with us on the Gunblog Variety Cast, episode 97. Welcome back to the Gunblog Variety Cast. I'm Sean, and I'm joined as always by Adam. How are you doing, Adam?
I got to drive the Jeep this week. It was only one day and only for about 100 miles, but I think the seal is kind of sort of maybe fixed.
Well, good. Finally.
Maybe.
What's the next thing that's going to break?
If the seal breaks again, I'm just going to put a new axle on it. Just a whole new axle.
I thought you were going to put a new axle on it anyway.
Did I not tell this story?
The last thing you said was you're just going to replace the axle. You're going down to the junkyard, going to pick up an axle.
Okay. So what had happened was I ended up calling the mechanic who replaced the seal the first time. Was basically like, hey, so, what's going on here? And I got like this kind of incredulous look from him. He was like, we have a year warranty on parts and labor. Just bring it in and we'll fix it. I was like, oh, okay. Because I wasn't going to pay him $600 to fix the seal again, right?
Right.
So I took it in and they fixed it and they were about to call me and they had parked on an incline. And when they went to go and get the Jeep to bring it back to the front, so I could pick it up, they noticed that all the differential fluid had leaked out of the seal that they had just replaced.
Oh.
So he had to do it a third time. And remember, it takes between 4 and 6 hours to replace that seal.
Ouch, they're out a lot of money on that.
Yeah, they are really out a lot of money on this deal. The good news is, when I finally did pick it up, I put one side up on a ramp. So I parked it basically on an incline and didn't have anything leak out. And then a couple of days later, I drove it and didn't have any problems there either. So. Hopefully fixed.
Cool.
We'll see.
Good for you. So let's get started with the Tactical Dog and Fitness Report. 23.6 dog walking miles. And it's getting to that point in the year where I come back soaked in sweat from the morning walks.
Oh, yes. I'm familiar with that. Only I walk for like 12 minutes and you walk for like 3 miles.
Yeah, about an hour.
I may start back up again next week. Sinus stuff started last Monday and it's Saturday now and I'm on the tail end of it. But this time it all started and I hadn't even done anything strenuous. So I've had this problem more frequently since I moved to this house. I think the area that I live in has like 10 times more ragweed than anywhere else that I've lived. And that's really the problem.
Okay.
We'll see.
So I understand you want to make an announcement, finally.
Yes, yes, yes. I informed you about a month ago, and I think we immediately informed the rest of the crew. But this is going to be my last show. We've been doing this for about 2 years. Aaron is going to take over.
This is episode number 97, and you've done all but three,
two
four?
Or three. Yeah, something like that. I think it's three. So the deal is I want to, quote unquote, spend more time with my family, except that this time there aren't like any hookers involved.
Right? Oh, well, good.
I really do want to just spend more time with my family.
This is quite a time commitment for everybody involved. Ask my wife. She'll tell you all about how much of a time commitment this is.
Yeah, poor you. You got to do all the segments and all the editing.
Right. If we could just figure out how to make this podcast pay about $600, $700 a month, I'd let somebody else do the editing.
See? Yeah. So you and I usually record on Friday nights, and it's usually between 2 and 3 hours. And Friday is the only day where I don't have to be up in the morning and somewhere the next day.
Uh-huh.
If I want to like take the kids out to go see a movie or something, Friday would be the day that I could do that.
Yeah.
Right. Or if we wanted to go have a sleepover somewhere, Friday would be the night to do that. And Friday, of course, is really the only night that I can do the podcast because we're up until, 11 o'clock or so.
Yeah. Or so. Or so is a good way to put that.
So the kids win. I love you guys. And I'm very honored to have been in this position for the last 2 years. But I gotta go. My kids need me.
I understand. Yep. Those little rugrats, they take up a lot of your time and they're really your first priority, aren't they?
Yep.
And now it's time for Blue Collar Prepping with that bratty kid sister of the gun blogosphere, Aaron Paulette. This week, Aaron talks to my wife about the emergency kit they put together.
Come on, every pony! It's time for Blue Collar Prepping with Aaron Paulette!
Well, hello, Blue Collar Preppers. This is Aaron Paulette, and today I am joined with a special guest, the wife of our very own host, Sean Sorrentino. So, welcome, Mrs. Sean.
Hi, Aaron.
Last year, you contacted me by email. You wanted to know if maybe I would be okay with helping you design a kit for your car.
Yeah, I did. I realized that I needed a couple of things to have handy, and before I put a kit together, I wanted to get a better idea for what would be handy to have in that kit so that I could minimize the number of revisions, I guess. And so I was trying to figure out what to do with that, and I went, oh, hey, there's this person that my husband knows that kind of does that, so maybe I should ask her.
Yeah, and I'm very glad to help. In fact, I was flattered that you came to me looking for suggestions. And we went back and forth for, I think, about a month or so, just ironing out, and I would make suggestions, and you'd either love them or hate them. And eventually, we came up with a car kit that you liked, and I posted that back in October of last year. And so there's a link to that in the show notes for people who want to see what's in your kit. And I understand that just having that kit has been very handy in multiple situations, and you've saved the day a few times. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I have. In fact, the most recent one was when the husband and I were moving in and the garage door opener needed to be programmed. And it's got one of those handy little holes that you stick a pin in. Unfortunately, not many things had been moved to the house yet. And so he was asking me where I might find a pin type thing. And I went, right here. And I dug underneath my seat and I pulled out my little truck kit and pulled out the sewing kit out of it. And I handed him a pin and he looked at me like, what just happened? But he took the pin and he got the garage door opener programmed and everything worked fabulously.
Great. I also understand that it was during the move itself that you used something that you added. It wasn't in my original list. And it has to do with a fish tank. Can you tell me about that?
I actually have three fish tanks. Two had to be moved to this house from the last one, which is a real interesting project. I don't really recommend going through that process if avoidable, particularly when one of them was a 55-gallon fish tank, which is rather unwieldy. Fortunately, I was able to hire some professional help and was given the hint to, after taking most of the water and all of the fish out, to wrap the top of the tank and saran wrap to try to maintain the moisture to preserve the ecosystem that is established with the microflora and fauna in the tank. And this was a great plan, and we got everything wrapped up, and we got it moved into the bed of the truck and started down the road. And we got about 5 miles down the road, started getting up into higher speeds as we got out of the neighborhood, and the saran wrap just shredded and got out of the truck. You know, we were looking at the situation, and I remembered that I have a space blanket in my kit and went to get it out. And then I found a contractor grade trash bag in there that I had added later. And I held it up and said, will this work? And he looked like a kid finding the Christmas stocking. And he said, yes! And snatched it out of my hand. And we opened it up. And it turns out that that size is just perfect for going across the top of the 55-gallon fish tank. And we bungee corded it into place. And everything went swimmingly.
Ooh, bad.
Couldn't help it, sorry. We got there, got the fish tank moved in, went back, got the other fish tank. Well, this one is smaller. We decided to not even bother with the saran wrap. But now we had this great big trash bag, which really didn't work terribly well draping over the top of the 20-gallon fish tank. So I went, huh, And I opened it up, and we discovered that with a lot of wiggling and carefully pulling it down, it perfectly went over the top of the 20-gallon tank. So we not only protected the humidity level, but we also kept the light from coming in and cooking the tank as we were going down the road. So it really did a nice job of protecting my fish tanks in transit. And when we got everything set up, my fish were happy and healthy.
Great. Now, I have to ask here, there's got to be a story behind the blueberry syrup save.
So I help out at a friend's booth at the local farmer's market sometimes, and was there when another customer came and dropped a 1-pint jar of blueberry syrup on the floor.
Ugh.
And we were able to get the syrup off of the floor, but some of it had seeped underneath the wood edger piece. And it was pretty obvious that we couldn't just leave it there. It was going to be a problem for bugs and smell and everything else. And the person who was working the booth was looking at it saying, God, we got to get that up. I said, well, how is it attached to the floor? And she looked carefully and she said, Phillips head screwdriver. And she looked back up and I was gone. And I came back about 25 seconds later and I handed her a Phillips screwdriver. And she went, where did this come from? I said, my truck. And she started to go, why do you have a, oh, wait, it's you. Never mind. Yeah, thanks. And she used the screwdriver and she pulled out the screws and pulled up the little stripping and got the syrup out from under there, thus avoiding a bug infestation.
So what I love about each of these stories, they've all got that common theme where people aren't expecting you to have an item, you pull it from nowhere, and there's that look of shock and amazement and wonder as they go, how did you produce this miraculous tool, which is precisely what we need? And I don't know about you, but I live for moments like that.
I love that look on the face where they're so happy and so surprised and so confused all at once.
it makes me feel like James Bond. I don't know about you.
I was thinking MacGyver, but yeah, I could go with James Bond.
That too. So just in conclusion, I think you would agree with me, and tell me if I'm wrong, but having a kit like that, not only is it there to save your butt when things go sideways, but far more often, it provides you with the resources you need to save the day and make you look awesome in front of people.
And that never sucks.
It never does.
Yeah, and it's so nice when it's like, oh, it'd be really nice if I had, oh wait, I do.
All right, well, it was good to talk to you, Mrs. Sean. Appreciate you coming on, and you keep your husband in line, all right?
I shall certainly try, and thanks again for your help putting the kit together.
It's my pleasure, and thank you for being here. I hope to talk to you again soon.
Alrighty, take care.
If you'd like to read more from Erin, check out her blog, lurkingrhythmically.blogspot.com.
Felons behaving badly. Pair arrested for killing North Carolina woman, leaving burned body by road.
Well, that sounds like a couple of individuals that have all their self-control faculties still intact.
Dateline, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Two people have been arrested and charged after the body of a woman was found burned on the side of the road early Friday morning. According to the Rowan County Sheriff's Office, the woman's body was found along the 300 block of Leonard Road around 6:30 a.m. Friday morning by a man driving by. Officials said there was still a small fire burning around the body, which was also burned. The woman, later identified through several tattoos, was confirmed to be 33-year-old victim. Victim's home along the 200 block of Honeysuckle Lane was also found burned Friday morning more than 12 miles from where the body was discovered. Investigators say the fire was deliberately set.
No.
During their investigation, deputies determined victim was last seen with a man named Suspect 1 and a woman named Suspect 2. Both were named suspects in her murder and the arson of her home. Early Monday morning, detectives were notified that Suspect 1 and Suspect 2 had been located in Horry County, South Carolina, near Myrtle Beach. Warrants were obtained for robbery, second-degree arson, and first-degree murder on both Suspect 2 and Suspect 1. Both suspects are being held in Horry County and will be returned to Rowan County to face these charges. So what kind of people do you figure burn somebody's house down, kill some woman, and then burn her body?
Well, thankfully, their parents named them Suspect. So,
yes, if you are joining us late and have never had this explained to you, we don't put out people's names. We're just going to change their name to Suspect 1 and Suspect 2 and Victim. So, the sort of people we're talking about here, Suspect 1, assault on a female, misdemeanor class A1.
Oh, this is my shocked face.
Damage to property, misdemeanor class 1. 8 counts, felony breaking and entering, felon class H.
There you go.
Burning public building, felon class F.
Oh, we have a pattern.
Burglary first degree, felon class D. And for those who don't know, in North Carolina, first degree burglary is a home invasion.
Yeah, this guy's all kinds of fun.
And robbery with a dangerous weapon, felon class D. Suspect 2, this is the female of the couple. Larceny, misdemeanor class 1. And obtained controlled substance by fraud, felon class I. So what about the victim? Reckless driving, misdemeanor class 2. Refuse or false information to officer, misdemeanor class 2. 2 counts, worthless check, misdemeanor class 2. Driver's license revoked, misdemeanor class 1. 2 counts of larceny, misdemeanor class 1. Operating a motor vehicle without financial responsibility, so driving without insurance, misdemeanor class 1. Hit and run, serious injury or death, felon class F. And assault inflicting serious bodily injury, felon class E.
So were those last two on the same day?
Yeah, it was all one day, one incident.
Okay, so she ran somebody over on purpose. If it was a hit and run causing serious injury or death, and assault inflicting serious bodily injury, on the same day, one can assume she ran somebody over on purpose.
And that one day included the driver's license revoked, the reckless driving, the refuse false information to the officer, operating motor vehicle without financial responsibility. That was a good day.
All right. Yeah. Again, 3 people with all of their self-control faculties completely intact.
So keep in mind when people complain about the fact that you carry a gun and you're just going to snap one day and hurt somebody. Here's 2 people who decided to murder a third person, burn her body and her house, and not a concealed handgun permit holder among them. They're criminals killing criminals.
Yep.
And that's kind of the way it goes. I know it's a lost cause, and probably so does Tiffany. This week she reminds us that it's probably not a great idea to rush to social media to give your opinion when you can't possibly have all the facts. So hey, Tiffany, what do you got for me this week?
Hey there, Sean. Well, I thought that I would talk about a story that's been floating around the interwebs. It's about a gun shop owner in Ohio, I believe it was, who tragically met his fate at the business end of a live round during the course of a CCW permit class at his gun shop.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's pretty bad.
What makes it even worse to me is that the lightning speed with which folks raced to the comfort of their anonymous interweb forums to trash this guy without even knowing what the facts were.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about there.
I think what's probably most predictable to folks who are gun people is that the anti-gun crowd was really, really anxious to use this, to point to this as yet another example of why guns are unsafe. And of course, this is a dangerous line of logic for everyone, especially those who support the Second Amendment, because A, we don't have all the facts. It's just it's a premature assumption on many levels, number one. But number two, even with the very few facts that we do have, you can't extrapolate from this one freak incident that guns as a whole, the entire universe of guns, are simply to be banned as unsafe, deemed unsafe for all human use. It's just flawed logic.
What bothered me was I saw a lot of people who were, oh, he deserves it for, it's like, what, he's like a plague vector or something and he deserves to die from his own disease? Is that what you're trying to say?
I don't know if that's what they were trying to say or if they even gave it as much thought as you've given it in the 5 seconds that it took you to make that statement. But what really is, I find, tragically ironic about that is that this guy was not even the instructor of the course. Anyone who bothered to look at you know, more than just the Twitter version of the reports of the incident, would have seen that he was minding his own business in an adjacent room, and the actual errant round came through a wall from a class that was being led by an entirely different instructor. And beyond that, we really have no idea what the facts are. I mean, there are some reports that the students were working on a malfunction clearing drill, which, if that's true, then it does raise a lot of questions about why there would be live ammunition in the mix during a malfunction drill, or why anyone instructor would be covering malfunctions off the range to begin with at all, whether using caps or using live rounds. But be that as it may, you know, to just say that this guy kind of deserved what he got, either because he was a gun guy or because he was, you know, negligent or idiotic or whatever assumptions people made, I just thought that that was, first of all, on a humanity level, I thought it was disrespectful to the newly departed. And, you know, this guy, I presume, had a family. I just thought that that was unfortunate.
Yeah, well, you know, what do you expect? They hate guns, so obviously they hate the people who have guns. I mean, I just try to dismiss it and move on.
The other thing was, you know, I got some weird kind of vitriol from pro-gun folks as well, which I wasn't expecting. I saw a lot of comments on Facebook about how this guy was stupid and you know, deserved what he got. A lot of, ironically, a lot of the same comments that were made from the anti-gunners. I thought that this would be a good opportunity to remind everyone that A, we don't have all the facts, and B, no matter what tool you're using, there are elements of safety that have to be adhered to, that have to be respected. And just because you may have an incident where one person failed to respect those rules, that has nothing to do with the utility of the tool that's being used. I mean, if someone takes a lawnmower and runs down a baby, we're not going to ban all lawnmowers, obviously.
Well, one would hope not.
As tragic as an incident like that would be, heaven forbid something like that ever happened. As much as I love the internet, the anonymity factor really has a testicle enlarging effect that I think can be disadvantageous to those of us who dwell in the realm of logic.
It's something that I've seen with myself, even. It's so easy to shoot your mouth off when there's no consequences. And nobody can ever stop you from doing it. It's not like they're going to show up at your door, Jay and Silent Bob style, and punch you out for what you said.
Although sometimes I almost wish that could happen. but it's true. You're right. People get a lot more brazen on the internet when they don't have the fear of consequences. But, you know, they should think twice about what they say about complete strangers that they know nothing about and have never met. Because, as I said, you know, these folks have families, they have friends, and we don't know the circumstances. If you take a look at some of the other coverage, it's clear to see that this guy was beloved in his community, and it's a tragic loss.
Unimaginable loss.
He was loved by the whole community.
He was the man who neighbors say shoveled everyone's driveway in the winter. The man who always had a friendly smile.
He's just a great guy.
People who knew him called him Jim, a neighbor who they say went the extra mile to lend a hand and keep people safe.
They all loved him. He was just loved by everybody.
A man who will be remembered for his overall concern for the people around him.
Sheriffs and the cops come in and out all the time. Because they loved him, you know.
Now many in this tight-knit community are devastated.
He loved his community and he wanted to protect. That's why he did what he did.
Neighbors and family here are devastated by this man's death.
I'm going to miss him because he was a good neighbor.
He described him as a great friend and a great boss. Certainly a tragic loss here for people.
So it's just a reminder that we need to be respectful of each other. And have you gotten sick of hearing me say that yet, Sean?
No, I think of it as my weekly therapy session. Sean, you need to be nicer to people.
Well, I appreciate you looking at it with that positive attitude. but I, you know, the flip side to that coin, because there's always two sides, is that we in the gun community, particularly those of us who have instructor credentials, do really, really need to take seriously our obligation to exercise safety above anything else. Again, I am not going to criticize this man, whoever instructed this course, because I don't have the facts. Obviously, if they called me in to come in and review what they did, then I'd have a more informed opinion. But they didn't, and I don't know what happened. So I'm not talking about him specifically. But generally speaking, if you call yourself a firearms instructor and you are bestowing permit credentials on people, then safety needs to be your absolute number one priority with a bullet, pun intended. And if you're not continually reiterating with your students that they should treat all weapons as if they are loaded, that they should always keep their firearms pointed in a safe direction, or more specifically, don't point it at anything that you're not willing to destroy. They should keep their finger off the trigger. If you're not constantly reinforcing those rules to the point of, you know, nausea from your students, then I think you may be A, selling yourself short as an instructor, B, selling your students short as folks who are going to go out there and arm themselves with the power of deadly force, and C, and perhaps more importantly, selling short the legacy and the future of the Second Amendment. Because every time an incident like this happens, it gives ammunition, again, for yet another bad pun, to the anti-gun community who is just itching for reasons to argue that guns are unsafe and that we don't have a right to possess them or to bear them.
All right, Tiffany. It was good to talk with you. I'll see you again next week.
Thanks, Sean. I'll talk to you later.
You can follow Tiffany at frontsightpress.com.
Plug of the week.
I made more stuff! So I think we've talked about on the podcast before about how I started getting into like the 3D printing and design stuff and all that wonderfulness. And I started off making switch plates for the late model Jeep Cherokees. Well, I've branched out and now I have several different models of that. And I also made, if you own a Cherokee or have ever driven a Cherokee, you know that there's like this little ashtray thing that's in between the cup holders and the gear shifter. And most everybody uses that to hold their spare change or whatever, because nobody smokes anymore. And even if people smoke in the car, they don't use the ashtray because they just roll down the windows and flick the ashes outside.
Yay.
Because nobody wants that, right?
Yeah.
So, by the way, just kind of as an aside, if you ever are looking at a car that has a headliner falling down, that's usually going to be because they've been driving with the windows down, and that will either indicate they have had an air conditioning problem or that they're smokers. Just kind of FYI.
Good to know. Well, I remember you were talking about this before. You originally made a 5-switch panel because you couldn't ever find any more than 3, and the 4 sold for ridiculous amounts of money, and there never was a 5.
Right. And I made a 6. That was the first one that I made, was a 6-switch panel.
And I remember you were saying, well, we could put these power points, which every one of the rest of us thinks of us still, if they're old enough, as cigarette lighters, but you could put one of them or you could put 2 of them. And I'm looking at all of these panels and what I'm seeing is just various, you could have this many switches and this many power points, and I would just pretty much pick whatever you like and however you want to configure your panel. It's pretty neat, actually.
Yeah, and a lot of those were because people on Instagram would hit me up and say, hey, so can you make a panel that does this? And, you know, all of the hard work was really done last year. And so I can crank these things out really easily. In fact, 2 weekends ago, I had a guy say, hey, so instead of the factory switches, can you just make ones with like round holes so I can put these, you know, little $2 switches in? And I was like, yeah, sure. And so I came up with, you know, 3 or 4 different models, because apparently there's 3 or 4 different sizes of those kind of switches. There's like a 19 millimeter hole, a 20 millimeter hole, and a 1 inch hole.
Right. But as long as you have all of the outer dimensions and where everything screws in and all that, all you got to do is move the holes around.
Yep. Pretty much. It was real easy. And then, of course, after I made all those designs for the guy, then he comes back. He's like, oh, well, can you make one with this other thing? And I'm like, okay. But the good news is those 3 or 4 designs only took me like an hour tops. So it wasn't a huge waste of my time.
So are you selling any of these things?
So yeah, I've sold, I don't know, 20 or 30 of them, 20, 25, something like that. So I'm doing pretty good there. And then last weekend, I released my little ashtray pod that'll have 3 OEM switches. So 3 of the same kind of rocker switches that are in the Cherokees and the TJs. And also the Contura style switches, which are significantly cheaper. And you can get all kinds of different designs on those. And they're angled slightly so you can better read the rocker switches. Now, I have only sold one of those to a guy called Jeepology. And if you're in the Jeep forums or anything, you know who that guy is. But I have several more of those kind of designs coming out at some point in the near future. I'd hope to get all those out last weekend because they were actually having a sale, Shapeways was. I had been worrying that price was hurting me because these are not cheap.
Well, I don't know, $85 is not ridiculously expensive either when it comes to car parts.
No, it's not. But I think a lot of the guys that complain that my stuff is too expensive expect it to be $35 because that's the price of a 3-switch panel like 5 years ago.
That they can't get their hands on.
That they can't get anymore? Yeah.
And people were getting those by pirating them off of old Jeeps, not manufacturing brand new ones.
Right.
And they're not custom in any way.
Correct.
Yeah.
So the reason I, you know, upload my stuff to Shapeways is because they are a global operation. So if we have anybody in Australia that has a Cherokee or the Philippines, or I get a lot of guys from like the UAE that hit me up on Instagram. These guys are a global operation. You can literally order them from anywhere in the world and they'll have them to you in about 10 days because they manufacture each individual one for you.
Cool. And do they manufacture them all of them in a central location or do they have
more? No. They have a spot in New York. They have one in the Netherlands. They've got one in Alberta. They're all over the place.
So it's not like you're paying for ridiculous shipping from, you know, somewhere in the United States to the UAE. They actually have a place close to them.
I believe that is correct. Yes. That's my understanding.
Well, good. If you're going to quit the podcast, you at least ought to make some money.
I know, right?
Now, if you could figure out how to make the podcast make money. Can we 3D print the podcast?
That would be an interesting project.
So what do you tell your children about your carry gear? Do they even know? It's a very personal decision, and Beth explains the issues involved. Well, hey, Beth, what do you got for me this week?
Kids. There's just no filter on what they say, and their constant curiosity about everyone and everything around them can certainly get them chatting. I've had friends tell me some pretty outrageous and hilarious stories about what their kids have said to or in front of complete strangers, often in the most inappropriate of ways. Luckily, onlookers usually give little ones a pass when they're saying things they really shouldn't.
Wait, Beth, this sounds like a setup for something.
Well, when my son had just turned 4 years old, he had a tendency to share things that I didn't really want others to know. I'm sure parents can understand this all too well. For instance, on several occasions, when I had to take my little guy to a public restroom with me, he'd comment very loudly about the color or the style of underwear I was wearing. On trips to the grocery store, he'd point out and cheer at full volume for most of the nearby aisles about people with weird glasses, or funny hair, or smelly smells. And, of course, there's always the numerous times he'd announce at restaurants that the food was yucky or gross.
Okay, that's not so bad. We've all experienced the kids say anything inappropriate things to strangers scenario.
Oh, but wait, there's more.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Well, there was also the very memorable time that I passed through a crowded area at a government building where my husband was getting paperwork and everything together for something. It wasn't the DMV, but it was rather close, and I honestly can't remember the task at hand. But I had the three kids in tow, and my son abruptly muttered, "Hey, Mommy, do you see that sign right there?" I looked over, and he was pointing at the door. "It says you can't have your gun with you, see? That little red line going across means guns are a no-no."
The dreaded gun-free zone.
Yes, that's just what I needed. Not only was my son pointing out something I loathe, the gun-free zone, he was totally giving me away for being a legally armed American. I honestly hadn't even noticed the anti-gun sign, but either way, I was quite mortified by what he'd chosen to announce to all the people within earshot. Luckily, I avoided the glances that I felt from several people nearby, and, playing the distracted mommy card, I simply said, "Yes, son, that's nice. Did you remember to get your dinosaur?"
Well played, well played.
Here's the thing. Some people would argue that my little boy shouldn't know that I carry a firearm in the first place. That way, he wouldn't be able to share this little tidbit of information with the world. But I, personally, don't feel like that's smart or safe. I firmly believe in teaching my children about responsible gun ownership, and that doesn't happen by hiding or ignoring the subject. And it certainly doesn't happen by accident. It happens by teaching them. and by being a good role model. It's about education, not isolation. I can't expect my children to know what to do or what not to do around firearms if I avoid the topic like it's a taboo. And even though I was pretty embarrassed by my son's random revelation, it did give me the opportunity to talk to him about being discreet and cautious about the topics we discuss in public, and about not sharing everything that pops into our heads. That's always a tough one, too. It's not about lying to people, it's about keeping our business to ourselves. That's not an easy concept for a little kid to understand.
Or for a lot of people. Look at social media.
True. All things considered, for some of us moms and dads anyway, it seems that instead of worrying about printing or about accidentally drawing attention to a concealed gun, what we might need to consider is what our wee ones might divulge. Don't make a big deal about it, of course, but teach your kids to be discreet. And if you do carry a gun every day, that all becomes part of the norm for them. It's part of the backdrop, like carrying a purse or grabbing a bottled water on the way out the door. They will get used to it. They will become accustomed to it because that's what you do every day. Ultimately, I just try to remember that they are kids after all, and they can't fully grasp the significance of the Second Amendment or the importance of concealed carry yet. Anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Well, thanks, Beth. It was good to talk with you. I'll see you again next week.
Y'all stay safe and be well armed.
You can read more from Beth at usconcealedcarry.com/blog and click on Pacifiers and Peacemakers in the left sidebar. So, Sean, when Ben, who is my oldest, he's now 4, was very little, I often worried about the same thing that she was talking about happening to me.
Yeah.
So we always called my carry pistol Daddy's tool because that was kind of true, right?
Yeah.
So guns are tools. So one day we're in Chick-fil-A and I turn around and the grip of my Glock somehow smacked him in the back of the head. Because that's about how tall he was. And he says, in his outside voice, "Ow, Daddy, you hit me with your tool."
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, which was kind of embarrassing, right? Because, you know, double entendre there.
Yeah.
But it was hilarious to other people in the restaurant. Instead of giving some, you know, demanding action mom the vapors and then calling the cops or screaming or, you know, doing something like that. Because you don't want your 4-year-old going, "Daddy, your gun!"
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah.
Luckily, my dog never makes any statements like that, so we're good.
Yep.
Fun with headlines.
All right, so originally I was going to actually do the story, but then we saw the video, and it's much, much more egregious.
Uh-huh.
GOP lawmaker, majority of gun deaths in U.S., self-defense.
So where did they get a quote like that?
Well, I'm not really sure. Let's go to the tape.
He said the majority of gun deaths in America are self-defense.
You got accidents, you got murder, and then you got defense. And the last numbers I saw, those three, the largest plurality is self-defense.
Does anybody know what the difference between a majority and a plurality is? So this GOP lawmaker is actually my state senator, Glenn Cassada. I have had dinner with him several times. He does generally know what he's talking about on these kind of issues. He didn't say a majority of gun deaths in the U.S. are self-defense. Then they attacked the point that he wasn't actually making.
According to the Violence Policy Center, there were over 8,300 homicides by gun in the United States in 2012. That's compared to just 259 justifiable or self-defense homicides by gun. So for every justifiable gun homicide, there were 32 gun murders.
I'm pretty sure that they got their statistics from the FBI, UCR, the Uniform Crime Reports, and they don't include self-defense uses. Bodies are the only thing that matter there, right? So if you hold a guy at gunpoint, guess what? That's not counted.
Yep.
I was trying to research this before the show. I can't really tell from the UCR if the justifiable homicides that they're talking about was actually legal intervention, which may or may not be limited to police officers and other law enforcement.
Actually, no. I know for a fact that the legal intervention is not limited to police officers, but what it is limited to is people who get shot in the commission of a felony.
Ah.
First, it doesn't include all of self-defense homicides, and it definitely doesn't include all defensive gun uses, because just because there's no dead body result doesn't mean you didn't successfully use a firearm to defend yourself. Both my father and my mother have used a firearm to defend themselves, and there were no bodies to be counted, so they don't count? Their lives aren't valuable? The people they were defending weren't valuable?
And I've done it twice, once to defend myself and once to defend some poor kid.
So, was misquoted and then was attacked for making a point he wasn't actually making.
Yep.
Great.
Good job, media.
So layers and layers of editorial oversight.
Or lying, either way.
Fresh from taking a strong stand on due process when it comes to firearms, the Republicans in the Senate decided to push another FBI computer spying law. Trying to find consistency in politicians seems like trying to find honor among thieves. Barron tells you all about it in
Tech Tips,
Tech Tips, Tech Tips.
You are damaging my calm.
Tech Tips with the Barron.
So what's new in the world of tech this week, Barron?
Honestly, Sean, as always, the same crap, different day. The twist is different, but it's nothing new. Not to be perturbed by the gun control failures in the wake of Orlando, we now have Republicans going full retard, throwing due process and the Fourth Amendment under the bus.
Given you do the tech segment, why do I have a feeling this is headed down the rabbit hole?
Because it is, Sean. This is the epitome of let no good crisis go to waste. The EFF and many other privacy organizations have been working hard to finally restrain the government back from the surveillance state it's creating, and they're about to throw all of it right down the garbage.
Give us the TLDR of what it is they're trying to do.
Legislators are attempting to expand the FBI's authority to use secretive surveillance orders without a warrant to include email metadata and browsing history. For those of you who haven't heard me talk about it before, metadata is just as important as core data. Given enough, you can construct considerable information. Don't believe me? The majority of targeted advertising comes through metadata collection. If you're still unsure, let me give you this example. A call record from your service provider shows that you called your GP, followed that with a call to a cardiac specialist, with another call to a diagnostic center. You or someone in your house obviously has a heart problem. Coupled with other surrounding call history, email, and possibly even extracting the location data from your phone, you can determine exactly who and the possible condition being investigated. For those who are playing along and are also familiar with the concept of national security letters, they're going to expand their impact as well so that email metadata is included, including the senders and recipients. If you've never heard of national security letters, these are those letters used to bypass the courts and forbid the recipient from even talking about getting the letter.
Well, that's freaking annoying.
Yep, and even worse, everyone who's listening to this podcast, the vote will have already occurred. Sadly, it appears that the assault on the Fourth Amendment and privacy is going to be just as relentless as it's been on the Second. Most entertainingly, the irony appears to be completely lost on the Republicans pushing this crap, not to mention the Democrats opposing it. The gun control bills throwing due process under the bus got shot down. Then the people that shot that crap down go and sponsor this crap.
What would you say is the best way to deal with this?
Remain engaged. When chatting with legislators, don't just cover firearms, but also cover privacy and security. Expect them to come after encryption. On an immediate level, encrypt everything. Seriously, start working on encrypting all the things. Secure your data and pay attention to incoming attachments. Remember, don't open attachments you're not expecting, and even be careful of those that you do expect.
All right, Barron. It was good to talk with you. I'll see you again next week.
See you next week, Sean.
Barron still blogs at the-minuteman.org.
The J Block. So we talked about it last week that I was going to be taking somebody to the range. I thought at the time it was going to be three somebodies to the range, but only took one. The couple, one of the two of them had to work, so I only ended up taking one person, John, to the range. Had a great time, like, because it's guns, and
right?
We're at the range. It's going to be a great time.
And you're teaching somebody new. That's my favorite.
It is absolutely my favorite, too. I would never be a good instructor for teaching the high-end shooting stuff. It's not what I'm interested in. I absolutely love taking those classes, but I would never want to teach them. My favorite thing in the world is to take somebody and get them their first shots on a pistol.
And that smile.
Yeah, setting them on that path. That is so much fun. So that's what we did. I took a guy named John to the range. John is a member of the LGBT community. I'm not going to say specifically, I'm not going to categorize John in any way, because that's for John to do if John ever wants to. But took him to the range, and first off, I gotta say that the range we went to came through for us like you wouldn't believe. We went to Triangle Shooting Academy, which you may have heard multiple times on this show, is where Andrew Branca is going to be doing his August 7th class, which you should sign up for. One of the people that I know really well works there, and I talked to her and I said, look, this is what I want to do. Instead of going to the Wake County range where they don't have any firearms and you guys have all these guns here, can we come to your range? Can you talk to the owner and see if they can help us out? Because, I mean, I'm not made of money. I can't just bring people to this relatively expensive range to shoot. Now, it's equivalent effectively to the range that you always talk about in Nashville.
The Nashville Armory.
I think Luke has talked about it several times on Triangle Tactical Podcast. It's more expensive than the Wake Range, but you get really high-end target returns, and so you don't have to wait for line breaks to go get anything. You can just be in your lane and do your thing, and everybody else's stuff doesn't affect you. Most of the time, it's quieter on this indoor range than it is in an outdoor range when you've got multiple people shooting. Now, if you're all by yourself, yeah, outdoor's great. But it's actually a quiet range. They've got the sound deadening in it so well done that it just doesn't beat you up. So I know you don't like to take a new shooter to an indoor range if you can help it, but this is the range to go to. Josette, the person that I know at this range, went to the owners and said, hey, look, this is what's going on. And they came through for us in a big way. They gave us a significant discount. Not only did they do that, one of the owners came out when we got there, shook hands with John, made him welcome, said, please let everybody know this is a perfectly safe place for you to be. You're absolutely welcome here. And then all the counter jockeys were like, here, let me show you guns. And they didn't bother to ask any questions about, and I didn't care what John was or wasn't. It was not important. Oh, you want a handgun? Let me show you all the different, what guns do you want? It took time. The entire 40 some rounds that John shot could be covered by a small woman's fist.
Ooh.
We shot at 4 yards and 7 yards. It would just worked out really well. So John's like, I am totally going to buy a gun here. These guys are great. I'm going to go tell all my friends. And I'm watching on Facebook. That's the hilarious part is John gets on like the Pink Pistols, gets on Blazing Swords Facebook page. I am totally going to buy here. They were fabulous. They were really nice. Yeah, you know, if you're LGBT, you need to go to this range because they will be nice to you. And they came out and said, hey, you're totally welcome. And the prices aren't bad. And I mean, this is the place to go. So a couple of morals in this story. Number one, take people to shoot because it is massively fun. Two, if you're a range, make sure that all your communities in your community feel safe to be there so that they will come in. If they feel good, if you treat them right, then that's where they're going to buy. And that's what you're trying to do right there, right? You're trying to get people to come and buy at your store. And number three, I just found out today, word of mouth is fantastic because John's like, hey, here's my buddy. You need to totally teach him. And the buddy's like, yeah, I'm interested. I want to. So John's dragging friends. Hey, you need to come shoot. And this guy's a great guy to teach you. And this range is the best place to go because they're super nice. Let's get this together. We got to do this. And so it's working out really well. Well, you can obviously tell I'm pretty excited about it. I had a great time and I'm looking forward to doing more of it.
Good job. Good job. Winning converts. I did after the Monday after, or maybe the Tuesday after, I did text a couple of my friends and said, hey, so if you've got anybody that's in your community that is now suddenly looking to buy a gun, I will totally train them for free. And that was before Aaron kind of kicked off this other thing.
Aaron's pretty clear that she didn't originate the idea. She just decided to start collecting the people that she had seen on Facebook in one place. And this just snowballed way out of her control. She's like, oh my goodness, where did these 1,500 people come from? Because it was just like half a dozen people on her Facebook page. She thought, really, this was going to be her Monday blog post at Blue Collar Prepping or at her personal blog. And it's turned into, I'm not sure how many interviews at this point.
Well, good.
And Aaron's not the one to get in front of a camera.
No, she's not. Dragged, kicking, and screaming.
Yeah. So it's been all kinds of fun. And, you know, wherever you came from, whether you're LGBT yourself or not, or whatever community you feel that you're part of rather than, you know, standard straight, white, fat, middle-aged dude, hit us up. We'll take you out to the range. Now, you're not going to get any high-end training, but we'll get you started, and then we'll point you towards that high-end training, which I totally recommend, but really all you need right now is this is a gun. This is how you use it.
This is the fiery death end.
Right. Don't point that part at you.
Or anything else.
Well, except I mean, the target. You know.
The thing that you want to shoot.
Yeah. Know?
As Tom Givens said, imagine a 10-foot giant fiery laser beam coming out the end.
So yeah, definitely do that. It is worth all the effort that I've put into it times like 10. It's been a lot of fun, and it's going to continue to be a lot of fun. And if you're in Raleigh and you're like, well, I want to, but I'm not so sure about that Sean guy, let me know. I'll hook you up with Linoge, who is the person that you used to blog on his blog.
Right.
I have somebody telling me directly how good he is and how patient he is. Somebody I trust very much. So there's two of us here, plus several others in the Raleigh area. And take a look on the map. I'll put a link to the map in the show notes under the J block, and you can see where this map is and all the different people. If you're capable of taking somebody to the range, you need to sign up to be on the map. If you want to be taken to the range, find somebody in your area and have a conversation with them. And now a word from our sponsor.
You know what will happen. If you ever have to defend yourself, you're going to end up in handcuffs. Are you trained to win the fight after the fight? Sure, you can draw, aim, and put two in the ten ring, but have you learned your legal self-defense? Do you know the law? Go to lawofselfdefense.com/variety to sign up for your legal self-defense class. Each class is tailored to the laws in your state. Attorney Andrew Branca will teach you the law. Not just what the law says, but what the judge's legal opinions say. What the jury instructions say. Sure, you could risk spending the rest of your life in prison because you followed the advice of some gun store counter jockey. Or you could spend the day with the man who literally wrote the book on the law of self-defense. Carry a gun so you're hard to kill. Know the law so you're hard to convict. Go to lawofselfdefense.com/variety to sign up for a legal self-defense class in your state. And make sure to use discount code VARIETY at checkout to receive 10% off.
This podcast runs on your donations. Go to gunblogvarietycast.com and click on the donate or subscribe button in the right sidebar. You can make a one-time donation of any amount or subscribe for as little as $2 a month. That doesn't sound like much, but we pay our server costs monthly. A little help from you is a big help to us.
Our current fundraising goals are about $300 so that we can buy Aaron, our new co-host, a multi-track recorder. So if you'd like to participate in making sure Aaron has some really good recording capabilities, and this recorder will also allow her to interview people, then go to gunblogvarietycast.com, take a look in the right sidebar for the donate button, and give us a little money, just say, for Aaron's recorder. Not only can you subscribe or donate to the podcast, you can also make a contribution to the LGBT Training Ammo Fund. Go to gunblogvarietycast.com and click on the LGBT Training Ammo Fund donation button in the right sidebar. I'll use this money to pay for range fees, targets, and yes, ammo for the people I teach. And thanks for your support. And we've already gotten one donation, a very, very generous donation, from listener Maria. And I will be using that money to make sure that John and John's friend and the two guys that I've already been talking to have some 9mm ammo when we head to the range to shoot full-size handguns. So, Maria, thank you very much. And thank you to anybody else who'd like to make a donation. Like clockwork, right after a mass shooting, our president runs to the podium to denounce gun owners and their civil rights. Weird lets you know what he thinks about Obama's post-Orlando speech on gun control
in This Week in Anti-Gun Nuttery.
Well, hey, Weird, what do you got for me this week?
I said last week that I'd be covering the anti-gun reaction to the Pulse nightclub shooting. I had no shortage of clips to choose from. I'll probably be covering this next week as well, unless something else comes up. It's really a shame how angry I'm feeling having heard this clip I'm about to fisk. I should be shedding tears for the victims, or raging over cultures that exist within our borders and around the globe that think that murdering somebody simply because they love a member of the same sex is perfectly acceptable. But instead, it's my own president who's really gone beyond the pale.
So today, once again, as has been true too many times before, I held and hugged grieving family members and parents, and they asked, why does this keep happening? And they pleaded that we do more to stop the carnage.
Of course you know I'm a huge proponent of removing all gun-free zones. And like the terrorist attack in San Bernardino and Fort Hood, Texas, the Pulse nightclub, given that it was a bar, forbid law-abiding citizens from carrying there, even if they abstained from drinking. The only person legally armed at the scene was a uniformed police officer serving as a private security guard, who was immediately engaged and quickly retreated to call for backup. And of course, Paris is not a place where the average citizen can carry. Be they terrorists or the mentally ill, predators target these victim disarmament zones to maximize damage. So what do you have to offer, Mr. President?
They don't care about the politics. Neither do I. Neither does Joe. And neither should any parent out here. This debate needs to change. It's outgrown the old political stalemates.
Gotcha. This is not time for politics, and the gun control discussion is a stalemate. I agree. Well, partially agree. I think the pro-gun side is winning the debate, but we're making very slow progress. So yeah, this is a good direction to go. But what do you propose?
I'm pleased to hear that the Senate will hold votes on preventing individuals with possible terrorist ties from buying guns, including assault weapons. I truly hope that senators rise to the moment and do the right thing. I hope that senators who voted no on background checks after Newtown have a change of heart. And then I hope the House does the right thing and helps end the plague of violence that these weapons of war inflict on so many young lives.
Wait, what? So it's time to get beyond politics and break new ground for public safety, but you're just gonna punt to the same old tired anti-gun boilerplate? Yeah, the terrorist used a so-called assault weapon, and Florida doesn't restrict what firearms are available to the law-abiding public. But so do the terrorists in San Bernardino, and California has a so-called assault weapons ban that is vastly more extensive than the 1994 federal ban, and it's not like they had to smuggle them in from Arizona or Nevada. They legally bought their guns in California. And again comes the anti-gun politicians talking about removing rights of people on the so-called terror watch list, when this guy was not on the list. The jerk was even under FBI investigation for potential ties to Islamic terror and was cleared. Twice. Oh, and neither were the terrorists in San Bernardino nor the terrorist in Fort Hood. And again on universal background checks. In reaction to a killer who passed a background check. Both the FBI NICS check and the private check done to hire him as an armed security guard. Am I living in bizarro world? Why are the American people not onto this crap yet? Why didn't the crowd immediately erupt into boos over our president making such a cheap political move in what should be a speech about grief and remembrance? You don't care about politics? All you're presenting is politics. You are dancing in the blood of these poor people to advance your foolish anti-gun agenda that would have saved no lives, and frankly, likely got many killed.
Those who defend the easy accessibility of assault weapons should meet these families and explain why that makes sense.
For the exact same reason why the police who stopped this monster did so with so-called assault weapons. Look, I don't expect the grief-stricken families to be receptive to our side of the argument right now, especially if they were not pro-gun before this happened. But you, Mr. President, know this issue very well. You've been working on the politics of guns for your entire career, a career that started in the blood-soaked streets of Chicago, one of the gun control capitals of this nation. Yet you want more gun control. Your agenda is that sick.
I've said this before. We will not be able to stop every tragedy. We can't wipe away hatred and evil from every heart in this world. But we can stop some tragedies. We can save some lives.
And even if a few of the patrons were armed in the club, they too might not have been able to change the events. But can you really argue that those people huddled in the bathroom waiting to die, or the people who saw the killer storming across the dance floor killing their friends, would have been worse off with a pistol on their person?
The notion that the answer to this tragedy would be to make sure that more people in a nightclub are similarly armed to the killer defies common sense.
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what he said. We now know that the police who engaged the murderer and drove him into the bathrooms ended up retreating, leaving the killer to emerge from hiding and murder another 29 people in the other bathroom. Tell me that those 29 murder people were better off being murdered than having the tools to fight back. You want to know what defies common sense, Mr. President? What defies common sense is your desire to ensure that those 29 victims were totally unarmed and unable to resist their slaughter. That defies common sense. What did stop this, Mr. President? I'll tell you. What stopped this were good men with guns. But good men who were in the very difficult position of leaving a place of safety to a place of extreme danger to protect the lives of complete strangers. That is really something quite amazing. But why should it be that way? Wouldn't it be better if the people who were stopping it were the very people who were in direct jeopardy, and the lives that they are saving are their very own, with the collateral damage of saving the lives of strangers? Oh no, says teleprompter Jesus. That defies common sense.
We can reduce the impact of a terrorist attack if we're smart.
Except the only action you're proposing is pure stupidity.
There's so many people here who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. The Pulse nightclub has always been a safe haven, a place to sing and dance, and most importantly, to be who you truly are.
Yes, gay clubs and bars are ideological sanctuaries, but they are not physical sanctuaries. The gay community, as well as the Jewish communities in America, may skew heavily to the Democrat side, and with that comes their anti-gun agenda. But this wasn't a spree shooting or a mass murder. This was an act of war by a person acting under a larger ideology who would love to see every last gay, Jew, and infidel wiped off the face of the earth. If you're listening to this show, you probably agree with me. But there are people in your life who don't. It's time to set our ideological differences aside and look at the greater good. We are going to see more attacks like this, and neither our laws nor law enforcement are going to stop them. You who are already gun owners, teach those who aren't. Those of you in the LGBT community, you've seen what happens when you cannot defend yourself. It's time to jettison the anti-gun agenda in your community. A gun will put you on equal footing with any attacker. Get one. Learn how to use it. Carry it all the time. If you don't even know where to start, our own Aaron Paulette has built a map of LGBT-friendly firearms trainers who are ready and willing to help you learn. You can find her map at facebook.com/blazing sword.
All right, Weird. It was good to talk with you. I'll see you again next week.
See you next week, Sean.
In addition to appearing here, Weird is a regular host on the Squirrel Report and blogs at weirdworld.com. That's weerdworld.com.
Stuff that grinds my gears. Before we do this, if there are any little ears that will be looking forward to seeing Santa this year, turn the podcast off now and listen to the rest of it when they're not around. Okay? Turn it off. Okay, Adam, since this is your last show, why don't you go first this time?
Whoever told my 4-year-old this week that Santa isn't real?
Oh, man. There's always some jerk.
Yeah, and I'm not sure who it was, but basically, on the way to school the other day, Ben says to my wife, "Santa is just pretend." We think that we got him convinced, but who knows?
Yeah, I know there's multiple views on that. Oh, you should never lie to your children. And others that are, I mean, my attitude is they're going to learn at some point, and it's good to learn that not everybody tells you the truth all the time, even your parents.
Right.
But those people who just, it's like, let's hurt little kids.
Yeah.
That's their motivation. Let's hurt little kids. And they can couch it however they want, but realistically, that's all they're doing. They're hurting little children.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Jerks. How about you, Sean?
Always playing defense. Why are we always simply defending our right to own an AR-15 or so-called high-capacity magazines?
Don't you mean high magazine clips?
And these high magazine clips!
Look, playing defense all the time means you just lose slower. When somebody starts into, "Why do you need an assault gun with high magazine clips?"
High magazine clips.
Don't just stand there and take it. Counterattack. Tell them that not only does the Second Amendment protect your right to own militarily useful firearms, the main body of the Constitution basically says that you can own a warship. Now, you've heard this before, right?
Oh, yeah.
Article 1, Section 8 gives Congress the sole authority to issue letters of marque in reprisal. A letter of marque gives the owner of a private warship the authority to attack enemy shipping without being considered a pirate. So, if you take your ship and you attack enemy shipping or any shipping at all on the high seas, you're a pirate, and they can kill you for this. But if you have a letter of marque from your government, that letter of marque says, you're not a pirate, you're acting under the legal authority of the government issuing that letter of marque.
You're a private military contractor.
Exactly. So you can't issue a letter of marque to something that doesn't exist. If there are no private warships, then you can't very well issue a letter of marque. Now, can you? So, clearly, the people who wrote and ratified the Constitution believed that it was totally okay for citizens to own warships. So the next time somebody attacks your right to own a gun, especially if they say, well, you can't own a tank or an F-16 or a nuke, tell them, well, the Constitution says I can own a warship. So why are you whining about what kind of rifle I have? So, Adam, that's the end of the show, and I want to play this one last time.
Hi, my name's Adam from Guns, Cars, Tech Blog. My cars are old. My guns are considerably newer.
That never gets old. Never.
It was great to have you here. And of course, you come up with good fun with headlines or some other reason, you can be back on the show and do a segment.
All right.
Just let us know. And enjoy that extra time with your kids. I know they're going to need it, and I know you do too. Well, that's our show for the week.
Thanks again to Rob Allen for our music.
And Firearms Policy Coalition for their support.
And thank you for listening to the Gunblog Variety Cast.
Constructive criticism can be sent to Sean at SeanSorrentino.com.
And hate mail to Aaron.
If you're not already subscribed, subscribe in iTunes for all you Apple users.
Or in Google Play Music if you're an Android user.
And make sure to help us grow by sharing this podcast with your friends.
Show notes can be found at gunblogvarietycast.com/episode97.
This is a URS production.